always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Like, that really matters, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the...
No, you're dead on about the perception thing. Like, if the Lakers make a trade for Luke Kennard, it's like, so many people are like, well, but he can't play defense, he can't do this, he can't do that. Whereas, like, if the Dodgers make a trade to bolster, like, their rotation, or the Rams make a trade to bolster their roster, you know, people are like, hell yeah, Super Bowl, World Series, right. Let's go. You know, it's just right. Like, they've been, Lakers fans have been burned so many times over this last era that it's hard to trust that we, even when the team does make moves, that they're the right moves, which is a perception thing as much as anything.
Yeah, and it was funny because he traded for quite literally the best shooter statistically in the league this year, and everybody's like reaction was like, all right, let's see if he can beat the Lakers curse, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like that lack of belief organizationally extends.
They traded for Nico and people were they traded for Luka and people were like, I don't know, maybe Nico had a point, like you know there's no way Rob got the better end of this deal, right? Like
All right, let's go ahead and let's move on really quickly to this whole thing that happened with Jovan over the weekend. And I don't want to speak for Jovan too much here. But essentially what I saw from my perspective was so here's the aggregation that came from NBA Central. I'm going to pull up the tweet here and read it. So this is what NBA Central says that Jovan said, and they give a hat tip to @Lakers248, which I don't understand how they could lead you astray. Quote, if it comes down to whether you'd rather pay Austin $40 million per year for the next 5 years or LeBron $40 million for 1 year, they're going to prioritize the long-term contract. Austin is more of a priority for the Lakers than LeBron. That's just a fact, is what NBA Central has Jovan saying. And people took that and ran with it and all these things. And for one thing, and Jovan knows this, and Jovan was on vacation while all this was taking place. and it's just like really, really bad timing. But Jovan knows that it's not a matter of having to choose between LeBron and Austin, but when it's presented that way, or when it's aggregated that way, it becomes the story. And and with like you know, the way that this is probably going to play out, not like could play out, not like might play out, the way that this is probably going to play out is Austin has a significantly smaller cap hold than the eventual amount of money that he's going to make from his next contract. So he can be signed later in the offseason after the Lakers have done all of their stuff, and the Lakers can jump above the salary cap to pay him because they have Austin's bird rights. LeBron, on the other hand, has a huge cap hold that the Lakers need to either agree to a number with LeBron early to reduce that cap hold, or they're what's probably going to happen is they're going to renounce LeBron's cap hold and then sign LeBron later, after they have figured out what use they have for the cap space that they have opened up by renouncing LeBron's cap hold or their free agent rights to LeBron. And then at that point, the Lakers could, and again, likely will, have LeBron and Austin back on the team next year. But because of the way that this was aggregated and the way that this played out, and it drives me nuts when I see this kind of take place, you'll have Harrison. You and I grew up in this industry aggregating. That's how we started in this industry, right?
Yeah.
And we aggregated for Silver Screen and Roll. And one thing that I always did back when I was doing aggregation, and you did the same, but we would reach out to the person that we were aggregating just to get clarification on any potential, you know, inference, any, like, you know, reading between the lines, what this actually means, what is reporting, what isn't reporting, all of the stuff. We always tried to have as good of relationships with beat reporters as we possibly could, so that when we aggregated them, we didn't take them so far out of context that they'd be like, you guys suck at your jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, reaching out to, you know, beat reporter X from that time and just being like, hey, did you actually say this on the radio, or is like this way out of context, or did somebody just make this up? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, is there a recording somewhere of what you did say? That sort of stuff. Yeah.
And this was at a time where every beat reporter didn't have a podcast. Every beat reporter didn't have a TikTok. Every beat reporter didn't have like all of these other avenues that beat reporters have. And it was kind of harder to chase down some, you know, information that was worthy of putting into a headline. And, you know, I just thought that, and I'm obviously biased, but I always thought that step of reaching out to a reporter to clarify whatever it is that we were aggregating was an absolutely critical step. Because it allowed us to either add more context to the piece by saying, hey, we reached out to so-and-so and they said this, or, hey, just so everybody knows, this isn't necessarily what they meant here when they said this. And then we would not only aggregate, and this is one thing that, like, these, you know, whether it's Dunk Central or Legion Hoops, or let alone all of these smaller accounts that are trying to aggregate on a more team specific basis, but there's never any additional context or thoughts added into it. It's just kind of like, this is what he said. What do you say? Quote tweet. Yeah. What do you say? And again, like, those two critical steps of either reaching out to the reporter. And by the way, I have told accounts, hey, stop aggregating me, please. I've DM'd them and told them, hey, let's just cut this out. I don't need, like, these aggregating accounts always say, oh, well, you know, we help with audience. You don't, you honestly don't, not on Twitter. And so it's like, I've told accounts, either don't aggregate me, or feel free to ask me any questions that you have. If you are going to aggregate, there are accounts on there who I have pretty good relationships with. And it's because they're willing to take that next step. But if you don't take that next step, and in this case, what happened was one of the smaller aggregating accounts tweeted out that quote, Dunk Central saw it going viral. So they just grabbed that quote and gave that hat tip to this Lakers 24/8 or whatever, account. And then everything kind of spiraled from there. And what Jovan didn't actually say gets attributed to Jovan. And everybody now uses that to confirm.
Wait, did he straight up not say that at all?
He did, but he meant it. He meant it in a completely different way. And it was like, and like, to me, what's important here is that, like, Jovan is smart enough to know, and knows, by the way, that the Lakers don't have to choose between LeBron and Austin.
Yeah.
And now everybody is like, we see it all in our chat over the course of the show. Everybody's freaking out over the Lakers potentially choosing Austin over LeBron, which, by the way, yes, Austin is a bigger priority to the Lakers this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, was anything that he said even, like, factually incorrect? And to me, I don't, based on my understanding, like, I don't think so. I think the Lakers, like, again, it's a false dichotomy, but it's, you know, it's sometimes false dichotomies become self-imposed dichotomies. And, like, you know, it is relevant to know who they value more and who they are more motivated to keep, even if they can theoretically keep both.
And probably will.
And they also know, like, of course they want to keep Reeves more. Like, this front office, you know, how long have we been talking about this? It's like it's not just the level of play on the court. It's also like, can Rob take credit for this? And Rob can take credit for the Austin Reeves, you know, drafting as undrafted free agent signing, you know, whatever. And so it's like, they're always going to be motivated to keep a win like that in house.
Right. So yeah, I
it's not about like you think it's better or who I think is better or who Jovan thinks is better. It's like we know the Lakers value Austin more.
Luka does. Luka wants Austin back. Like I don't understand why people like are like in the dark.
Well, sure, but Luka, I'm sure Luka wants them both back.
me too. But the guy that Luka specifically said, "Hey, don't put him in Giannis trades," was Austin.
I mean, in fairness, you can't put LeBron in a Giannis trade. So it's, you know, he might have specified LeBron too if that was relevant.
But yeah, I guess my question to you is if you have any kind of general advice on navigate, because every year it gets more difficult to navigate this time of year. Every season, every offseason, every summer gets more and more difficult to navigate this because Twitter has started paying accounts for their engagement and people see an opportunity to make a quick, you know, $20 a month by way of,
I will say not really anymore. I don't know what your payouts have been. Mine have not really existed for a while. Like I'm probably going to cancel my membership, like, because it's like, they're not paying me anymore. But it's not very much, even if
it's not. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, it's paying for one, like half of a dinner.
Yeah. Paying for one Uber Eats order, you know? Yeah.
Man. But yeah, I think though that like, do you have any kind of general advice on navigating this stuff? Because it's even changed a ton since you and I were doing this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I would just say is, number one, like, you can't just go, like, as valuable of a news gathering source as Twitter can still be at times, you almost never want to go just solely off of what the aggregation account said, like, especially those like national ones that don't really, especially the ones that don't write. This is probably admittedly personal bias, but like the ones that don't, you were talking about like the adding value and like trying to add some thoughts and analysis to it and whatever. The ones who just like, you know, send out like, "Hey, Jovan Buha said this, hat tip, so-and-so." Like they're just purely farming engagement, basically. Like there's no like thought or desire for context in there. They're just like, we want to get out the most scoops and tweets and whatever that we possibly can. Where like, you know, I would say that you should, even if you don't want to go, like, because this is not like a realistic ask for anyone in 2026, like no one's going to go and listen to every single Lakers podcast or every single podcast that Jovan appeared on for the full context of whatever. But I always try to look for, like, is there a clip of this person saying that? And like, what did they actually say? And like, was there any sort of caveating around it? Like, you know, for all I know, Jovan was just talking about like mock off-season plans or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, like it's just like sometimes this stuff, it's like, yes, the person factually did say that. Through a certain lens, maybe that can be true, but that's also not really what they were saying. And, you know, you have to like, you can't just look at the transcript to know that necessarily. And so you want to have like, you know, some level of thought given for the context around it when you're trying to consume this stuff, because there are like, you know, if you just go strictly off like the For You timelines, like you'll see like blatant lies and AI and like all kinds of bullshit on there. Like, so it's just like, you know, try and lean into the communities and the people that you trust. And, you know, like if you're big on Lakers Reddit, or you're big on Silver Screen and Roll, or you're big in the Lakers Lounge comment section, whatever, like talking to people here that you've interacted with for a while, you have a history of interacting with, you know, and asking them like, "Hey, did you hear that clip where this person so-and-so said this? Like, did they actually say that?" And, you know, you're going to get a better understanding than you will from just like consuming Twitter and like taking every single quote attributed to a reporter at face value.
Yeah, and also ask yourself, does this make any sense? Like, just take that one step. Just take that one step for a second and just be like, does it make any sense that this would be
teams reported? Do things that we don't think make sense all the time. But yeah, I mean, the other thing that I always ask myself is like, with reports, and like, if you're questioning not necessarily the validity of a report, but you're like, how much should I care about this? Ask yourself, if the opposite was true, would it ever come out? And, you know, it's like for example, like the you cited the Luka didn't want Austin in the trade for Giannis thing. Like, if Luka had said to Rob, like, hey, yeah, I don't really care if you put Austin in, it's Giannis, go get him. We would never hear about that. And so it's like, right, there's always a motivation for why the leak comes out and why the, you know, that's to make Austin feel secure. That's to make Austin feel like Luka has his back. It's a good teammate move, you know, whatever. That information is out there because people wanted it out there. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Lakers would never trade Austin for Giannis under any circumstances and massively overvalue him or whatever. Like, this is just what you say about your guys until they're not your guys anymore.
Yeah, I think that's honestly, like, this is something that Aaron has talked about often when he has been on the show too, is like, and he is involved in the NBA world and knows some stuff, right? And he always says, like, when you see a leak, ask yourself who stands to benefit from that leak coming out, that information coming out. And that's going to, you know, go quite a way in or a long way in helping, hopefully helping you decide, like, okay, how true can that possibly be? And if it's like too, like, remember when Dame was waived and stretched last year? Was it last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was last summer.
And then we immediately got a leak from Chris Haynes. Saying
Chris Haynes is the political one. Haynes is the NBA one.
We immediately got a leak saying that Giannis was just beside himself angry that they would do that to Damian Lillard. And I was like, all right, who stands to benefit here? Oh, yep, that's and we
oh, just it's Giannis. Oh, know oh, that- it's. It's Chris Haynes's cousin's like yeah, in-law that stands yeah to benefit from it. Okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, on some of these occasions, just like maybe connect a couple dots first before you just start quote tweeting, in this case, a report that like is really poorly represented.
Well, that's again, that's why I take it a step further or in like to the side of where Aaron is of like who benefits from this coming out. And also just like ask yourself, like, if the opposite was true, would we hear about it from an NBA reporter? Would an NBA reporter have heard about it? And that'll help you figure out, like, you know, how much you should invest in this story. Because if it's like, if it's just a tweet that like Giannis is despondent, like, we wouldn't have heard if Giannis was throwing a party because he hated Dame. You know, like, they're like, yeah, the sound can be heard from outside the Bucks office of Giannis is running around the facility so excited because they waived Damian Lillard. Like, we just wouldn't hear about that, you know, at least until Giannis right got traded or whatever. And so it's like, it just like when you're thinking about how much to invest in this stuff, just ask yourself, like, if the opposite was true, would it ever come out? And like, would this get reported, you know, as easily, or would it be leaked? And like, if the answer is probably not, then it's like, okay, you take it with a little bit of a grain of salt, because it's like these teams have entire, I mean, maybe not the Lakers, but most teams have like entire departments now, like sort of dedicated to how do we massage the media to tell the kinds of stories that we want.
Right. Yeah.
Also, Mark Walter, if that's you're looking for a guy to do that for you, get at me. I'm, you know, I heard you're making hires. I'm willing to be lowballed, you know.
What if they pay you less than you're currently making?
Well, then no, obviously not.
All right.
I said lowballed by NBA standards. I'm not willing to be lowballed, like, compared to my current standard of living, which is like, uh-huh, not uh-huh that crazy high, you know.
We got a super comment earlier, so we're gonna play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! And the question that we got earlier was BG the Kid writing, "Wow, I heard Harrison was in the Rams trade. Crazy! Congrats, dude! You were named in a Zach Lowe podcast appearance, and now you're being traded to the Cleveland Browns."
You know, hey, the low bump is real. I don't really understand how the Rams had my draft rights, but, you know, I'm sure I'll figure that out in the future. And, you know, just excited for this new chapter in Cleveland. Like, I think, you know, I think maybe LeBron will let me room at like one of his places. I'm kind of hoping, because, you know, I'm like, I was
probably prepared really nice
for a move. But yeah, like, you know, I could, like, Bronning's not going to use the pool house anymore, right? Like, he's got an NBA salary, so maybe I can just take that.
What on a football field would you feel most confident in your ability to do? Like throwing a spiral, catching a pass, you know, running a route, tackling somebody, or like kicking a field goal? Huh?
Oh, it's got to be from those, because I was going to say it's like holding the ball down for the field goal kicker.
Nope. No, like an actual, like, somewhat athletic thing.
Okay, so I have to punt, kick a field goal, or throw a football, basically.
Yeah, like,
catch pass. I mean, we know I'm not picking catch pass. Like,
what would you it's between kicking a field goal, like, we'll say it's like an extra point, the old extra point, like, not like the current extra point, which is like 40 something yards, but the old one.
So kicking a field goal, or what are my options? Punting
a ball like 35 yards, let's say. Could you punt a ball 35 yards?
Yeah, I think it would be punting. Yeah. I do a lot of walking. That's like, again, I'm not saying I'm like incredibly confident I could do this, but I have more faith that I could do that than basically anything else on a football field.
Yeah. Could, like, maybe throwing a ball 40 yards? Could you throw a ball 40 yards?
Probably not. In high school I could. I don't think I could currently.
Do you think, how badly would you hurt yourself if you tried to do any of these things?
Really badly, actually. Like, it's like my back is not in good shape right now. I'm fairly certain that just the motion of trying to pantomime a punt would like twist my spine out of place and like snap it in half, and then I just have like two spines sitting next to each other. So yeah, I'm not confident. I don't think the NFL is my future.
I think I could, I definitely know I could kick like a, I'll say like a 30 yard field goal. I could probably punt the ball a decent amount of ways. I've always had a decent arm, but
I went to a rage room a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you've ever heard of these things, but
yeah,
like, it's like a place where you can go and like smash some stuff. And yeah, like the amount of pain that I was in afterwards, like you would think that Mia had used me as the thing to smash. And it's like, no, like I kicked a barrel too hard and almost broke my foot. You know,
I guess the Eagles traded AJ Brown. There you go. All right.
To the Patriots? Did Vrabel get his guy?
It turns out Rossini was right this whole time.
Wait, actually?
Yeah. I mean, he,
like, they traded him to the Patriots.
Rumors weren't, that's not funny. True.
Yeah. That's hashtag, like, that's free Diana. She was right. It's, you know.
Don't. I dare you to send it. I mean, like, she would know pretty well, I would hope.
Yeah, I guess, you know, probably. We're saying she had a good source on that one.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So today,
it would be so funny if she came back online and took a victory lap. She should do it.
That
if I'm advising her, it's like, come back online and be like, oh, Eagles fans, am I crazy now?
Right. It'll be Barstool.
Like, it's her next home?
I mean, that's a place that she could, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, or one of, like, the gambling companies. New England team. I think it'll be that, or one of the gambling companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So the plan for the rest of the week, obviously, thank you, Harrison, for hopping on today. Going to have my buddy Kirk on the show. Hopefully, I'll have a working voice by then. Going to have Kirk on the show tomorrow to review Luca's season. He hosts
Pod Maverick. God, that's cruel. You're just, what? Like, bringing him up. You're just like, hey, you know, like, I wanted you to review this film of your ex-girlfriend, like, having a great time in L.A.
Who better? I guess I could, like, ask Iztok, but...
That's so mean. You're just like, hey, Kirk, you want to come and talk about, like, you know, how I was sort of underwhelmed by the guy that they ripped your heart out when they traded.
How didn't I even think of that? It's like
if your partner leaves you for someone else and then that person comes and complains to you about them.
I didn't think about this at all. Like this being a dick thing to have.
Messed up.
Hey, at least Cooper won Rookie of the Year.
Kirk's like, Kirk tweets, "My wife left me," and you're like, "You want to come on and talk about it?" Like it's.
I'm just like the Darrell or the what's that? The guy, the sports business guy who's like, "I'm sorry for our country, but this is great content."
Oh, Darren Rovell. Yeah. You're just,
yeah.
You're like, so Kirk, what would you say was Luca's best moment this season? And how did it make you feel specifically? How sad was that for you?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes tomorrow. Now that I've realized that maybe I shouldn't be doing that. We'll see how that goes. Harrison, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, I just look forward to your upcoming show with you're going to actually have a time traveling person from 2010, the night after LeBron left, on to discuss LeBron's season with the Lakers and how it went.
Exactly. I don't see what the big deal is. Gonna get our buddy Ryan Morton on here to ask like what he thinks about LeBron's tenure as a Laker.
We're gonna record it from his room in the Airbnb again, without telling him.
What's the time sitting on his shirt?
Yeah, you were sitting on his shirt. That was one of the funniest Twitter replies I've ever received was Mort just being like, "Are you sitting on my shirt?" When we tweeted out the link to a live stream that we were doing from one of the only quiet spots in the house on his
bed. Yeah.
Actually, that was meaner than bring Kirk on to discuss Luka. So,
yeah,
I guess, you know, the bar's low, but you cleared it.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your day, everybody. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.